Faithful to the end. This morning I want us to look at that scripture passage that we read in our responsive reading, so I won't read it again, but these are the words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we're told later in the chapter that this is the one who came and lived among us, Jesus Christ. It makes that very clear. So it's not just speaking of an abstract concept here, or of God, you know, in the abstract, but the specific God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's who we're going to look at this morning, and how he sent his son. Christmas stories. Well, we all love Christmas stories, some more than others. I mean, some really get into that. They love movies, and so they go through this whole ritual. I think we all have them, of listening to sometimes the same stories over again. Well, this is the true Christmas story, the father, I suppose, of all Christmas stories, the Christmas story, because it is about Christ. And it's really what Christmas is all about. So should not we pay a special attention to what God says in his word, even though we've read this before, I'm sure, many times? I want us to just to look at this story without a beginning. I think it could be called that. The story of Jesus, the story of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is really the story without a beginning. So we're going to look this morning at what we can know about this one called Jesus Christ from this passage of Scripture, where he began, when he began, if those questions indeed can be answered. But we're going to try to find answers. So I just want you to come along as we share this scripture passage together. Let God speak to your hearts. Just offer that silent prayer that the Lord would just draw you close to Jesus and to understand more about his coming into this world. Well, we read there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I left out a little bit there. But the Word was God, it says. He was with God in the beginning. And so it describes Jesus here as the living word. We know about the written word. Well, I suppose you could say they are one and the same, because Jesus inspired this word. He said, these are the things which testify of me. And indeed, he is the one who inspired them. If we believe that it is the word of Christ, the Bible calls it. So what can we learn at this point? About his eternity, first of all. I want us to think about his eternity. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, first of all, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, when was that? Well, I think it takes all of our minds back to the beginning of the Bible, where this very phrase is found, in the beginning, the heavens and earth. God created the heavens and earth. I really think, though, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that point in time when God spoke this universe into existence. It speaks of Jesus' eternity. Now, you may remember that Jesus said some things that, if it was anybody else saying these things, they would probably be considered crazy, at the very least, conceited. I mean, we could think of a lot of, you know, me, for example, saying what he said, or you. I mean, we would be probably put away somewhere, and rightly so. But Jesus said things like, before Abraham was, I am, really took the name of God when he said, I am, because that's what God said to Moses, tell them that I am has sent me to you. And in fact, those who heard him picked up stones and were going to stone him to death for saying that. He said things like, I am the resurrection and the life. I mean, who could say things that Jesus said if they were just a human being as we all are? Now, he was a human being. We're going to look at that too. But first, I want us to think about his eternity, the identity, first of all, of that person. The Word equals God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, we would maybe concede that, but here it says the Word was God. And so, if you're a logical person, you could say the Word equals God. I mean, I think that's what we would agree the Bible is saying. It also goes down and in the passage there and says this word came and lived among us and was full of grace and truth, speaking of the man Jesus. And so we would have to say Jesus is the Word, or the eternal Son of God who became the man Jesus is the Word. Jesus, in fact, is God. And I think we sometimes forget that. It's the obvious thing that we would conclude if we were just reading the Bible at face value. So his eternity. We think of that baby in a manger, so vulnerable. So such a beautiful scene, we think, but it's really not a beautiful scene. It shows the condescension of God, that he would come to this place where animals are kept, and that he would allow his son to come into the world in such a rude circumstances. But it's so wonderful to me to think about that, how God, we have glimpses into eternity past in other scriptures, such as the psalm that says, out of the ivory palaces he came. And speaking of heaven, he came down to this earth, stepped out of eternity into time. So there's the identity of this one, the durability he endures. Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. And the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So it's why we celebrate this birth of this child. He's not just, you know, one of our great people in history that we celebrate, but he is God taking on human flesh. Now, we don't understand all of that, but we know that he was born of a virgin, a miraculous child, because God did not want this child to be contaminated with our sin. And so this is how God chose to do it. Now, there are many things that are mysterious to us, but we have to conclude that the Bible teaches that Jesus is the eternal God, the eternal, one of the names for God. His durability, his immutability, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, why is that so important? Well, because we need something in this world we can trust. And we don't even know that this beautiful island of Oahu, I mean, God forbid, but I mean, it could be wiped off the map. I mean, we could be gone. Even if we lived on a mountaintop somewhere, we could be gone. I mean, volcano comes to mind. So this world is really quaking quicksand, isn't it? So we need this rock that we can build our lives upon. It's, again, why we celebrate this birth of this miraculous child. So his eternity, we can learn that from this scripture passage. We can also learn something about his deity. We've already spoken some about that, but let's look a little farther. Here it says, life in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Now, it's not just talking about any life. It's not talking about that life that lives in us, which is very frail. My brother had a heart attack this week, and so it kind of reminded me, you know, this is the kind of life that we have. I mean, our life is temporary, but his life is eternal. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. So if there's a void in our lives at this Christmas season, let's let Jesus give us that abundant life that he said when he said, I've come that they might have life. And not just any old life, but life abundantly. Life with purpose. Life with joy. Life with fulfillment. Life with experiencing the exceeding abundantly that Jesus said would be provided to those who come to him in faith. So life, light, I believe life certainly speaks of his deity. When we think back to the Garden of Eden, the Bible story of how God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, our first human being, and he became a living soul. Incidentally, the Bible says Jesus, by him all things were created. It may well be that Jesus is the only God we will ever see. He is the God who became like us. I think so that God, partly that we might be able to identify with him, because God is so great, and God is a spirit, Jesus said. He inhabits eternity. He is not confined by space and time as we are. And so it's hard for us to comprehend a being like that, so immense, so powerful. And so God sent his son, partly, not solely, of course, but partly so that we might know him, that he might know us. And then to take upon himself our sins upon the cross, of course, is why Jesus came. He came to bring life to us, to bring light to us. The scriptures that speak of Christ's light say that he is the brightness of God's person. Hebrews 1:3 says that. Makes me think of the Shekinah glory of God. How the Bible says that God dwells in light. Well, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Well, there's another stone that they were trying to throw at him for that. I mean, what kind of a person would say that? I mean, even those of us, you know, who have our bright and cheery moments never would say, I am the light of the world, the light. So here is an unusual person. Either you believe him or you think he's crazy for saying what he did. Well, if you've placed your faith in him, you know that he is indeed who he says he is. He is life. He is light. And he is also liberality. Now, I take that from verse 9 where it says that he lighteneth every man. Well, it says every man. I mean, it sounds like God is discriminatory here. No, I think it means every person. Every member of Adam's race, which is all of us. He lightens us. He shines his light upon us. The Bible tells us, James does, that from him, the Father of lights, comes every blessing. The Father of lights. The Father of light, really, is what it means. He dwells in light. Well, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And here it says that he lighteneth every person who comes into the world. Now, I don't understand how Jesus does that. But we looked at a mission video again. I'm sorry it wasn't as loud as I would like to have been. But I want to encourage us to pray for missions. We have a prayer calendar. I'm not sure. I think there might be some on the table in the back there. If you don't have one, if you weren't here last week and would like to have one, I just want to encourage us to pray for missions this month, really, the month of December. Really, it's what, Christmas is supposed to be for, giving gifts, right? So think about giving the greatest gift, which is Jesus. And pray for missions. Give as God may lead you. Participate however God may lead you. Liberality. Every man, it says. It shows, again, the deity of this one whose birth we celebrate. But then his humanity. I want us to think about his humanity. He became one of us. He was born in a manger. I don't think we have a manger scene here, but I'm sure you're all familiar with the kind of the historical fiction, I guess you could say some of it is anyway, the depictions of the manger scenes, kind of made to be kind of romanticized, really. But I don't think it was nearly as beautiful as we think it was. He came to the inn, his parents or his mother and Joseph came to the inn. And we know the story, how there was no room for them. And so they were, I suppose, told about the manger. We have to kind of read between the lines. We don't know that even. But it speaks of his humanity. God becoming a man. God humbling himself to live among us and to walk the road of the cross. He is the Lamb of God, the Bible says, who takes away the sin of the world. Well, he could not have done that if God had not become a man and came to live amongst us. So it is a real humanity. Now, there are those who would say that God, if he exists, could never associate with humankind. There are those who, of course, there are many gods. Many that are called gods, that is. We know that there are many spirit beings. God has created these angels, and some are good, some are bad, some have fallen. And so we have many names for God. Just calling, say, well, I'm a worshiper of God, may not be enough. It may not be enough if the God you worship, it isn't enough, according to the Bible. If the God that you worship is not the God and Father of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, neither is there salvation by any other name than by the name of Jesus. Well, again, God could not have come into this world in the way that the Bible portrays that he did without this real human person that we call Jesus. Now, in the New Testament times, there was a heresy called, I think it's called today Gnosticism. I'm not sure they had a name for it. I think they considered themselves Christians. But they believed in Jesus. I suppose that he came into this world as a spirit, a phantom, that he was not really real, even though people may have, you know, thought he was real. I mean, we have people today that say that they have seen ghosts and talked with them. And so there's this kind of mystical, really mythical idea that began to be believed in among those who were professing Christians, that Jesus was not a real flesh and blood person, that he didn't really have blood flowing in his veins like we do when we prick our finger and we bleed. And of course, there are those who believe that Jesus, when he rose again, it was a spiritual resurrection, kind of very similar to that, where the Bible very strongly dissuades us from believing that way, because he came and lived among us. I mean, he went around with these 12 disciples. Do you not think that they knew that he was a real human being? I think they did. I mean, he ate and drank. He was thirsty. He was hungry, just like we are, and yet without sin. So that humanity is real. It is revealed. Now, there have been stories, and I'm sure that it's happened, of kings who have put on clothes, disguised themselves, in other words, in order to get out among the people and maybe find out what the people, you know, really thought of them. This is kind of a dangerous thing to do. It'd be dangerous for some of our politicians today, maybe to keep them from being assassinated, I suppose. They might want to do something like that. But here is the only one who has stepped out of eternity into time. He has been revealed. God has been revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ, and responded to with, first of all, a rejection. The Bible says there was no room for Jesus in the inn, and his own people even rejected him. He came unto his own, the Bible says, and his own received him not. But lest we be sad at that or think, well, his life was a total failure. I mean, it wasn't a failure at all. It was a failure in this human economy, this human world in which we live. But in God's plan, it was a perfect life. He never sinned. He went to the cross willingly. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to me. And the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe upon his name. So here is the greatest gift that only one could give, that one being God the Father, but that anyone can receive, the gift of Jesus. I want to urge you to receive him today as your Savior. If there hasn't been a point in time in your life that you have said to him, Jesus, I trust you as my Savior. I know you died on the cross for me. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Give me eternal life. But just let him have his way in your life today. If you know him, just say, Lord, what would you have me to do? I want to be used of you. I want to lift up and glorify your name and bring others to know you as Savior.
for